Bring greetings to each one here this morning in the precious and worthy name of Jesus. How shall we come? We just sang as we are. Yes, God has need for each one of us. It all depends on how we come, whether He can use us. I too have been especially blessed this weekend, inspired, strengthened, convicted. And the topic that is before me this morning, you know, sometimes we use the expression that something is not for the faint of heart or the weak of knees. Well, I want to assure you the brother behind the pulpit this morning is faint of heart and weak of knees. Parental roles in church life. As those brethren were singing, the comments that Brother Floyd made about these saints that have now gone. They fought a good fight, they kept the faith, they endured unto the end. But then the question comes back to us, who will take their place and go from here? We just sang, God wants us where we're at. And so today, in relation to this subject, let us look at where we're at and let us go from here. I want to say on the onset that each person makes his own individual choice as to whether he's going to serve God or serve himself. Each person, at least to a large extent, makes his own decision and choice as to what kind of brotherhood he is going to associate with and have his family with. And so, if you are here this morning, and you have a child that has made that choice to not follow your faith, please don't take the message this morning that you've been a failure. Because as I said, each child that God has given us, He has also given them the power of choice. But God has given the opportunity to go from here. Yes, if we're honest, there's no one in here that's a parent that can say we didn't make a lot of mistakes. But the question is, where are we going from here? And if every parent here this morning is honest, and I'll be the first one to say this, I don't have all the answers. In fact, sometimes you wonder how the grace of God can work in the lives of your children in spite of what you are as a parent. But brothers and sisters, I believe that we are responsible, and to a certain extent, God does, I think, hold us accountable, especially for how we have done or operated in our parental roles. And so the Scripture does give us teaching, guidance. The Spirit of God does work in our lives and show us things we should be doing for our children and things we should not be doing. So this morning, please take this as an encouragement to go from here and to do the best that you can with the help and grace of God. I guess another thing I would like to mention at the onset is you as a parent will never, ever be a good enough parent to bring your children to heaven. It's the grace of God work in their lives that prepares them for heaven. In fact, it's a little humorous, but you know the saying. If you want to know how to be a good husband, ask the man who doesn't have a wife. If you want to know how to raise those toddlers, ask the man who doesn't have any. If you want to know how to raise teenagers, ask the parents that have toddlers. And so on it goes. The point is, none of us has all the answers, and none of us have it all together 100% of the time. Now, some do better than others, and there's a reason for that. Parental roles. What is a role? Basically, the dictionary says a function. Or also the idea of a role is a part that someone plays or someone does it in a play. So what is our responsibility as parents as far as in church life? For Scripture, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I understand, I realize this is Old Testament. There's principles here that we as parents need to recognize and see. Brother Chester gave us some literal figures yesterday. In fact, I almost in my mind thought that what he was saying, the one instant what he was saying couldn't be, but then someone else kind of interpreted what he was saying, so it does make sense now as far as the numbers. But if you think of the hundreds of years that the Mennonite Church has been going, the amount of average amount of children that have normally come along in the homes, we automatically know there's many who have left. And so I ask the question again, who will go on? Who will take the work on? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Here Moses was, we might say, giving his last message to the people of the children of Israel there. Verse 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather to me all the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. God was telling them, I believe he's telling us today, only take heed to thyself. Brothers and sisters, parents, we cannot pass something on we don't have within ourselves. It's impossible. We can try. We can say the right words. But as you all know, we teach a little by what we say. We teach more by what we do, but we teach most by what we are. And our children are the ones who see the easiest what we are. As it relates to church life, what do my children see? There is a reason that we need to take heed to ourselves. It's so that we are acquainted with how God wants us to live, how God wants us to operate in our churches, and we've heard much admonition on that this weekend already. So that when our sons and our children, they ask us questions, we are prepared with an answer that is the right answer, that satisfies the questions they have. But like I said, it is more what we are than anything else. Our children see right through that. Don't forget what you've seen. Don't forget what you've been saved from. We can all look back to the day when the Lord saved us. We gave our heart to Jesus. It was a tremendous experience. We thought the world was brighter, and it was. The outlook was much brighter. Don't forget that. Your children need to hear about that. But, he says, but especially, remember the day that I came down on the mountain, I gave you the Ten Commandments, the laws which you are to govern your lives by. Yes, our children need to hear about the time that we got saved, but much more they need to hear what the Word of God says for His people. How do we keep our children in our churches as promoters? Please don't misunderstand me. I realize sometimes we as ministers or preachers, we say something and we have a meaning, and maybe that's the meaning is not quite conveyed. But it is more than just being a part of the church. Understand me that, please. But for sake of a word, I will use that expression quite a bit this morning, being a part of the church. Basically, I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, but also our physical, literal churches that we are from and represent. Do your children know that the Word of God is the final authority? And do your children know that your heart is in the church? And again, I say, I don't have all the answers. If you go back over to chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 10. And it shall be when thy Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people, and so on. Now, Moses is reminding them that when you come into this land that God has just given to you, don't forget God. For us today, again, going back to something we heard yesterday, I personally do not recall any of the struggles that the Mennonite churches went through in the early 60s. And so, I was just a baby. Actually, my background was never involved in that. So, a lot of these things, I mean, I've read them before, but I don't have a lot of connection with that. Although the brother yesterday mentioned about a group today that is kind of going, following the same cycle. That's my background. I understand. And those things are not pleasant to think about. And yet, we must, as he said yesterday, we must raise up a standard. Someone has said, and I believe this, I didn't look this up just now, but I believe this is a correct quote, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. You and I, most of us here today, now there's a few older brethren who put some sweat and tears into this, but most of us, the setting we have today, we did not work for. It was given to us by others older than ourselves who had a vision. But beware, that's what is, we might say, the disadvantage of having been given everything on a platter, as it were. we don't understand the vision, and we don't understand the effort, the sweat and tears that went into it. Is that saying that we're doomed for failure? No. But we must understand, like the brother said, if we understand where we came from, it will help us in the direction we're going. But may I add a little bit of a disclaimer to that? In one sense, that's true. In another sense, there's far too many people in our churches today who are blaming the background, the past, for their failures today. In that sense, don't look back. Make your commitment and go forward. Of course, if there's sin back there, make that right, of course. But what I'm saying, in looking back, do it only in a way that will help you to realize and recognize where you need to go. Don't look back for a confirmation that, yes, this is why I'm failing today. What is my goal for my children as concerning church life? Here a couple years ago, at home they had me wear an apparatus. Puts a mic about an inch and a half in front of my mouth, so I don't worry about the fluctuations in my voice. So I'll try to keep close to the mic here this morning. Several years ago, I was at a man's house, and I'll just say the affiliation he was with. He was one of the what we call ultra conservative Amish. They actually were doing some work for me. I knew the son, married son, better. They both lived there on the farm. I knew him better because he was the one I was directly working with. But one evening I was there, and we were sorting some cattle. Then he said, would you have time to come in the house? Dad wants to talk to you. But I've never ever in my life before, and I've been to a lot of those farms and places, but I've hardly ever been invited into their house to talk with them. Now, they have given me lunch and that type of thing, but I thought, this is going to be interesting. He said, Dad would like to talk to you. So I, after we were done, went into the house. And the man sat in his chair at his desk. His son sat on a chair beside him. He gave me a chair to sit. All the other children were told to leave the house. The shades were drawn. It was basically dark in the house. In fact, I was sitting there for a little while before I realized that the wife was sitting over in the other corner of the living room. You know what the first question he asked me? He said, Perry. And they knew that I was a minister. He said, Perry, in your church, do you keep your children? It was a hard question to answer. And here again, I don't want to be judgmental at all. But I had to give the man an honest answer. My burden is this morning that we would ask ourselves, as parents, we would ask ourselves that very question. Are we keeping our children? And we need to be careful that we don't do that just in the context that we want to have a good name, a good picture of our family. That can be done, and it is done sometimes. I have seen parents go to desperate means to keep their children in the church. If you join church and be baptized, I'll buy you a new car. That type of thing. No, that's not what we want. But that we can somehow convey the vision that we have to our children so that they will desire and love to be where we're at or excel. I heard my parents, especially my mother, say that more than once. Boys, we want you to be better Christians than we were. And I guess I feel in that sense that of my upbringing, my heritage, my parents, I have a lot of advantages when it comes to this very subject right here. To my parents, the church was extremely important. We never heard, as young children, about disagreements in church, about failures of ministers and all that. In fact, especially my mother, my father as well, but especially my mother, ministers almost couldn't fail. Many, many times I remember in discussions, family devotions, whenever, mother would say, I remember when such and such a minister said so and so. Extremely high regard for those that God had ordained to lead out in the church. Well, I see time is going much faster than I am. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do we believe that promise? Are we destined to lose some of our children to hell? It's a terrible thought. No, I don't think we are. But are we willing to take the steps it takes to encourage them, to make so that they desire to follow the Lord? There were some young men or men talking about different translations of the Bible. And one, he liked this translation better because he thought he could understand it. And the one man spoke up and he said, I prefer my mother's translation. She has translated the Bible into the language of daily life. My mother's is the clearest translation. Mothers and fathers here today, that is the absolute truth. Our children read us. And they see us, who we are. And they establish their values mostly by that. I praise God for children who can rise above the failures of their parents and establish values, principles in their lives. But again, we are held responsible if we do not be that best translation of the Bible in daily life for them. In our churches as well, I think we as ministers, we hold a responsibility in this as well. It's not just the parents, but I think the parents play the largest part. Parents, what is your view of the church? I had a number of questions I wanted to ask her, but I guess we'll just leave that and go on. More is caught than taught. God ordained the home as the institution to train children in the way they should go, not the church, preacher, or the school. But they do play a part. And so we are careful. As parents, we're careful where we take our children to church. We're careful where we send them to school. We're careful what kind of teaching they come under. But are we doing that in connection with the church? Or, as is happening so much in our day, we are saying we're taking that responsibility against the church. We wouldn't say against the church, but that's really what we're doing. The brother talked about interdependence yesterday. I have told the brotherhood at home on more than one occasion, maybe I shouldn't say brother. Yeah, I've told the brotherhood. More on the ministry. I said, I don't know how to raise my children myself. I need your help. We must understand. And I think the thrust of our day, here again I want to be careful, but let's not get caught up in this thing that we as a parent, I as a father, am the sole authority in all my children's lives. No, God has ordained the brotherhood. If my child, as a young child, goes tearing down the aisle after church, I want my brethren to reach out and stop him. I mean, yeah, I should be aware of what's going on, but I'm not always. Some parents become very offended when someone does that. I say woe to them. Because the day will come when those same parents will be reaching out for help and for answers, but they've deserted the brotherhood that was wanting to give it to them. No matter how carefully the church works with children, unless there is cooperation and encouragement in the home, the whole effort is undermined. I mentioned my parents. Like I said, the church was very important to them. We automatically knew there was a service, we were going. It had to be pretty bad. In fact, if you said you were sick, if you haven't already given the proof of throwing up, that was not a good enough statement to stay home. We weren't always on time, but that was definitely the goal. And when we got to church, we knew what it was. In fact, I've already thought. I think if all of us church people would have sat with my dad when they were from 4 to 10, there would not be near as much problem with sleeping in church as there is. Because my father had a way to wake you up. And you stayed awake, if at all possible. I didn't use the same measures on my children, but I was conscious of not letting them sleep. The one man said, my father is dying. He said, I'm going to go home to my father, and I'm going to say, Father, you made it hard for me. You made it hard for me to go wrong. Fathers and mothers, are you making it hard for your children to make the wrong decisions? How do we make it hard for our children to make wrong decisions? Well, you fill in the blanks there. Parents must not only know the way and show the way, they must go the way. Again, I cannot overemphasize the great responsibility, the value that our children get or that we have by what we are and how we conduct ourselves in the church. I just have several points here. Do we value the brotherhood? I could take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but I guess I won't for sake of time. The church is a body. It says there, when one member suffers, we all suffer. Do your children see that evident in your life? Number two, do we have due respect for God-ordained leadership? I could take you to Hebrews chapter 13. for they watch for your souls as those that must give an account. You take the First Thessalonians 5, 12, and 13, talking about our responsibility to the leadership. Parents, what if the preacher does say something that the Holy Spirit uses to convict you of a wrong or of a sin? Something you've been doing, practicing, attitude you've had. What is your response? What if the leadership proposes a proposal that you do not agree with? What is your response? Do you have roast preacher for Sunday lunch? Fathers and mothers, if you have roast preacher for lunch, it is very highly likely that Tuesday evening, when the youth are together, they will have hamburger parents. Again, they're just following what they've seen and heard. Parents, you will never, never gain the respect, obedience, submission of your children by disregarding and dishonoring God-ordained leadership. Brothers and sisters, I don't say that because I'm ordained. I said that many years before I was ordained as well. Talking disrespectfully to or about God-ordained leadership should never be tolerated in our homes. Have I never done it? I can't say that. I'm glad God forgives, but we need to be careful. Number three, do your children see a willingness to serve? Well, why do I have to teach Sunday school? I just did 2 years ago. Why do we have to be on the food committee again? Why do we have to help this brother? He should be a better manager with his finances. Do your children see a willingness to serve? Number four, attendance at church. And I know these are just outward menial things, but they do speak to our children. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is. Is church attendance important to you as a parent? Do your children know it is? Someone once said, our children should never ask the question, are we going to church tonight? Well, children being children, I think sometimes they ask questions they already know the answer to, and so just to try you out, they'll ask the question. So I think it's not bad if they ask that question, but they should automatically know the answer to that question. And I don't know how your churches are, but there's a real trend. Tell your brothers and sisters, when you're part of a brotherhood, you have a young family, and you go to prayer meeting, normal church attendance Sunday morning is 100, 120. You get to prayer meeting, and you're the second man there. 5 minutes after it starts, there's several more there. It's discouraging. It is. And so because it's discouraging, then others say, well, it's so discouraging, nobody's there, so I'm not going either. Well, that doesn't help the situation. Do we value the church? Do we value the input we get from the brotherhood when we meet together in a way like this? Number five, reverence in God's house. Now, we talked about that a little bit as far as sleeping. I remember as a young boy sitting on that backless bench and I could somewhat grasp what the preacher was saying. Not a whole lot. It wasn't in my mother tongue. It wasn't in English either. I could grasp some, but not a lot. And I remember sitting there, and that clock, that longest hand on that clock, it went so extremely slow. I would look at it. It wouldn't move. And I'd do something else and look back, and it just barely moved. Maybe some of you children, well, the children aren't here this morning. But I'll never forget the day that I discovered, you know what? If I really pay attention to what the preacher's saying, church time goes fast. But by that time, my parents had changed churches, and I could easily understand the minister. But that has never left me. You know, if I pay attention to what's being said, all at once it's time to close. And time has went so fast. Now, maybe that's not the best reason to listen to the preacher, so time goes fast. But at least I started listening. I had an interest in what he was saying. Are we teaching our children reverence for the house of God? Number six, and you could probably add more, but number six is one that I think it cuts pretty deep. How do our children see us respond to correction or criticism? We respond. Don't kid yourself. We respond. How do we respond? What do our children see? What if even it's a false accusation? Brothers and sisters, I haven't lived real long, although I've lived some time. But I am convinced when it comes to church struggles and that type of thing, my response basically holds the key to this whole thing being worked out. Your children will respond basically the same way you do. I've heard the thought, and I've said it myself, and I think it's true to a certain extent, that probably our teenagers, our youth, are the biggest sufferers when there's church struggles. But I would like to say, brothers and sisters, you as a parent, in your response to all of that, those struggles, you hold the key. And if I think, I believe, I've seen it, if you respond right, your children will have a much greater appreciation for the church than they had even before. It's like Brother Jonathan said, we think it'd be nice if everybody would just think like we do. Well, I'm glad everybody doesn't think like I do. By the way, there wouldn't be no questions to ever think, thought the same. he'd said, if there's a question comes up and everybody thinks the same, it'd be nice. Well, if everybody thinks the same, there probably wouldn't be no questions coming up. We live in a fallen world, brethren, sisters. And we have an enemy that is determined to destroy the church. And in that, he is destroying our families as well. And so how do we respond to correction from the brotherhood? Oh, but it's not fair. It's unjust. You know what? That's really completely beside the point at this time. This is the issue. Let's respond right here. You all know the story of the children of Israel back in the time of the judges, at kind of the end of that time. And this again was mentioned about priest Eli and his sons, that he didn't restrain them. You know how the story, how the Philistines came and they went out to battle and they took the Ark of God out to battle. In fact, this whole story there is a message in itself. But what did, was it Phinehas' wife when she was delivering the child? She died then, but what did she call the child? Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. Those are some of the saddest words. There are sadder words that we will come later, after this life, to some. But there are some very sad words. The glory of the Lord has departed. Brothers and sisters, if we don't want to have to say that, then we must put forth an effort to keep our children in the faith. Because as the numbers were proved to us yesterday, there will be an extinction eventually if we don't. Sometimes it only takes one or two generations. I vividly remember the one church we were at, there were struggles. My mother-in-law said, when we were young, we had to take a step out of a dead formal situation. We felt there was life, there was spirituality here. She said, now my children have to take a step out of this because of the way things are going. Let us be able to say, like Samuel, after he won the victory there with the Philistines, he set up that stone. He said, he called it Ebenezer. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Brothers and sisters, that's the only way it's going to be accomplished, is when we recognize that it's God doing the work in the life of my child. Again, I say, I'm not good enough parent, and I'm sorry, you're not either. You're probably better than I am, but it's the work of God in the heart and life of a child. And that's why I say, parents, even though you have children that might have made their own decisions, you can still pray that God would touch that heart. And God has, when we really get serious, God has ways and means of working that we couldn't even imagine. And he usually does it faster than we even would have or could have. They told Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. I believe our children are saying that. Are we hearing it? Are we doing that? Let us not cease to cry unto the Lord our God for our children. But coming back, we must live the life that encourages them to follow. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in the doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It's reciprocating. Psalms, it talks about thy son and thy son's sons, and it goes, it's actually, I think it comes down to about five generations he talks about there, how this needs to be passed on. God bless you as parents, especially here today. May we seriously, seriously take our role in church life as we should. Shall we stand for prayer?